Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
There are only four teams in the NFL with one loss or less. The Commanders are 4-1. The Chiefs are 5-0. The Vikings are 5-0. And your Houston Texans are 4-1. With us now in studio to talk about them from ESPN, it's DJ Bienemé. DJ, they took down the Buffalo Bills 23-20 with a walk-off Kaimi Fairbairn field goal. What did you make of the victory?
What I made of the victory was a good win, but I didn't really, you know, they can't keep playing this way. I think that they're not that much better than they were last year. They're winning games very much the same way, right? Defense get a stop at the end. CJ save us. And I don't think that's sustainable long-term to win when it matters. Because, right, it's not about, like, getting into the playoffs anymore. It's more about winning in the playoffs, being able to get past the divisional round. That's why you made all these acquisitions. You bring in Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, Aziz, DeNico, right? You bring these guys in to try to get past the division around. The way they're playing right now, I don't think it's good enough to get past the division around. It's still early, so they can get better as the season progresses. But right now, they're not that much of a different team than they were last year.
What's happening in the second half with the offense? Why it's struggling so much?
I would say teams have figured out, you know, Bobby's slow. Sometimes Bobby gets a little too cute. Like, there's a few drives where instead of just doing what was working, right, he tries to get some, you know, creative bag. Like, I think there's one drive where, like, they try to run, like, a screen. And, you know, I'm having to throw it. Then CJ and him having to throw it to Cam Akers. One thing, we try to run a tight end screen to Cade on your inside your own 15. And then Kenyon Green sprinting down the field. So you had illegal man downfield. And then, again, like, I would say that. So I would say, again, like, there was another time where he tried to run, like, a fake screen. I think the play where the fumble happened was, like, a fake screen. And it's like, you have your screen game only worked once with Nico. Nico had to break the tackle. The Bills have shown throughout the entire day your screen game isn't going to work. Even that one play where, I think Cam Akers ended up getting the ball. Well, see it through at Cam Akers' feet. I think they tried to run a screen on that play, and that did not work. The whole game had been shown that what you're trying to do, those screen games isn't working, and Bobby was still trying to do that. And again, like, that specific screenplay that he called, it wasn't even like guys were even biting on anything throughout the game to even give you an indication that, oh, you know, if we called this, it'll work. And again, like, fake screens, I think that's, you know, poppycock. Like, if you're gonna be a real offense, don't be trying to, like, You rely on deception. Like, I don't really.
It's led to a lot of illegal men downfield, it seems like, too.
Right.
And to go a little bit further, focusing on Bobby Slowick, this team can't run the ball at all. And I know that there are moments where Cam Akers has been able to make something happen out of nothing. Mm-hmm. But this is something that we saw last year, too, to talk about, DJ, how this team has not improved that much this year in certain ways. The running game has been just about the same as last year, and I get it. Joe Mixon's been hurt. Still, they do it so much, you wonder why.
Because, I mean, if you just drop back and pass all day, like, it doesn't matter how good CJ is. Like, it's going to be even easier to defend this offense. So I want to see what it looks like when Joe Mixon gets back. But until then, like, it's going to be – the offense is still going to be clunky. And, you know, with Nico being out, I think that's going to – I don't think he's going to play this week. I think that's unlikely. Mainly because hamstrings, I mean, he was fine post-game, but hamstrings, that's not a one-week injury. It's usually, like, at the minimum 2 weeks.
So. DeMeco made it sound after the game like it would be a couple of weeks before an answer a little bit later where he made it a little bit more murky.
Yeah. So, again, like, no Nico. You lose that. I mean, yeah, you still got Diggs and you still got Tank. But I still envision, you know, the offense still struggling, especially in the second halves. Because teams adjust to what they're doing, you know. And that's one of the bigger issues is once they adjust, they don't counter the adjustments because they can't run the ball, right? Because one way to counter some of the, you know, because, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, when we talked about them having Nico, Steph, Tank, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, if you take away Diggs and blah, 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 now you got to worry about Tank and Nico. If you were to take away Tank, you got to worry about Diggs. But that's not, like, how teams call offenses. You know, it's a progression. You start with one guy and you work to one, to two, to three. So if one, if they start taking away one and you try to work to two and pressure starts to get to you, then, like, you know, you're talking about trying to, you're not going to be able to get through. You're going to have to check it down. So teams have done a good job of being able to take away one, you know. It's going to be easy. It should be even easier now for teams to be able to take away because Nico is harder to take away because Nico is just that good. But, you know, schematically, if you can find a way to take away Diggs and try to limit Tank, like, it just be, you know, it's going to be on Bobby to find ways how to counter what teams, you know, will try to do to him.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like we've been talking about this for 2 years now, that they can't counter. They struggle on first and second down, where C.J. Stroud's having to make just, you know, spectacular plays from third and seven and longer pretty much the entire game. I mean, is this something that, like, from your point, they can't counter? Mm-hmm. They don't know how to counter? Because, like, it just seems so obvious that there's some kind of problem, but they don't seem to ever address it any week. If they can't figure out what's going on at halftime when their team, you know, pivots.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. Like, why can't? Because it's the same thing every week. You know what I mean? Like, week two, same thing. I mean, the only week where they had a good second half was the Colts game, right? And it looks like the Colts are just a bad team, right? That's the only team that they was able to have a good, you know, counter. Every other team that they've played, when they made their adjustments, they just have not been able to counter. I think a lot of it starts with the fact that they can't run the football. Because the book's out, right? Like, right? Because, you know, if you run cover two on them, you take away, you flood the middle of the field. Yeah, CJ can make a bunch of throws outside the numbers. But it just feels like, what's his face? Bobby doesn't call enough calls to attack outside the numbers consistently. Or at least if, you know, teams are going to be in cover two or something of that nature, put the counter on the boundary, put him in conflict, right? Make him have to choose whether, you know, he's going to take something deep away or he's just going to sink, whatever. Or at least I just, you know, figure out a way to attack, you know, the cover two outside. I mean, it's a little bit tougher, though. I will say it is a little bit tougher. But it just doesn't feel like they have many counters into how to – because, again, like, teams try to flood the middle and kind of go from there. And that's just not – they just haven't been able to figure it out.
DJ Bienname, ESPN Houston Texans beat reporter with us in studio. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. So you are parroting, it seems, the vibe that we are getting from a lot of Texans fans in that they're 4-1, but still a lot of things left to be improved. Some people are almost collectively meh about this start, but to shift away from the offense, because I think we all share a lot of questions about Bobby Slowik and what they can do, especially with now Nico Collins out for a little bit of time. The defense, at least on paper, seems like they had a very good day on Sunday. Josh Allen held to 9 of 30 passing. This is, I guess, the lowest completion percentage of a quarterback who's thrown more than 28 passes this millennium. So there's that. But was it more about Josh Allen missing throws or more about the Texans and the defense that they threw at him?
I would say Josh was playing very much off script. And against this defense, they love when quarterbacks play off script. Because that's when they can be at their best. Also, you know, he was missing his best receiver, even though, like, their receiving core isn't that good. So, he was missing Diggs, that's for sure. Josh needed Diggs on a day like that. So I'll say a combination of both. I do think that there is still some issues with the defense, that once they face a team that isn't shooting themselves in the foot, they'll be able to exploit it. Because, again, like, you know, yeah, last week, you know, they held Josh to 20 points or whatever, and he had a terrible day. But there's still open guys, right? Like, if Josh wasn't, you know, antsy in the pocket and things of that nature, he could have had a day, but he was all over the place in that aspect. And to their credit, they made him kind of get all over the place. But again, like, that game shouldn't have been close. The defense let them back in along with the offense. The Jags game shouldn't have been close. But again, the defense did save them at some points, but the offense also didn't do their, you know, things to the best of their ability. And again, like, the Bears game, that should have been a blowout. Wasn't a blowout. And then, you know, you had to rely too much on the defense. But overall, I think the defense, like, it's in a good spot. But there are for sure legitimate concerns. Like, their safeties just can't cover. Like, they just – Eric Murray, Jimmy, Bullock, they can't cover. They, like, teams pick on them. You know, like, the reason why teams – along beyond the fact that Stingley and Kamari are really, really good, why throw at them when I can just – put my best receiver in the slot. I know that you're not going to match Stingley or Kamari. I could put him in the slot and then have my slot receiver, my best player in the slot, attack your safeties. And I know he's going to get open consistently. Because Josh missed a touchdown early in the game to Matt Collins. And that was something that, what's the face? Trevor Lawrence missed the previous week to Christian Kirk. So it's not like coverage is just so tight across the board. It's like, nah, like, you know, there are opportunities. And they're kind of playing with fire. That's why when you rewatch the film, yes, they're 4-1. And if you're a Texans fan, you'd rather them be 4-1 with these issues than 1-4. You know what I'm saying? But there's still a lot of, you know, Steph, I'm going to say meat on the bone. They have a lot of things they got to clean up. Because if they don't clean it up, I could see a scenario where with the next few games that they have coming up, if they don't clean it up, I could see a scenario where I know they have it's Boston, Packers, Colts, Jets. If they don't clean it up, I could see a scenario where they're like, I don't want to, you know, sound like a Nancy pants.
Do it. Just do it.
5-4. 5-4.
Oh, see, here it is. DJ.
6-3.
DJ is enabling all these, you know, they should be better.
They should, though. Because, again, like, the standard is make a deep. They spent the fifth most amount of money in the entire NFL in the offseason. You didn't spend that money to be the same team as you were last year.
I'm with you, but they're 4-1.
Yeah, but again, like, they still have a negative point differential. Every game that they've won has
been
at the buzzer, right? You made a field goal to win that game. The week before, like, you had to drive down and score with like 30 seconds left or something like that. Against the Bears. The Bears had the ball last with a chance to win the game. If it wasn't, you know, Caleb's just a rookie, it is what it is. And then week one, right, you had to convert two first downs to win that game when that game shouldn't have been close against Anthony Richardson, who can't hit the side of a barn standing in the hay. So, again, like, yes, they are 4-1, and it's good at the 4-1. And they, you know, they should – Texas fans should be happy at the 4-1 with a lot to clean up. But if they don't clean it up, again, like, in the next four games, you know, it could be a scenario where they're like, you look up and like, dang, they should have a much better record than what they really have. And they started 4-1.
So we saw this offseason, like you said, they added all these guys on offense, defense. But we all talked about this before the season started. Paul and I talked about it a ton. Like, the safeties were a problem. You just mentioned they're a problem.
Yeah.
Do you think that with where they're at in the season and then their growth as a team, do you envision a scenario where Nick Caserio gets aggressive in the next couple weeks and looks at the deadline and says we can make a move to improve this roster now? Or do you think that this is something where they try to coach up their problems and their old slow players like Jimmy Ward?
They just extended Jimmy. And they, obviously, Cade is a rookie, so he has a lot of upside and things of that nature. So I don't envision anything in the secondary. Maybe try to get some depth on the O-line. Maybe try to add some pieces on the D-line. Because their depth is pretty thin at the D-line spot, especially at the D-tackle spot. But we'll see what it looks like when the Nick Autry gets back. So right now I would say no. One, could have just extended Jimmy. The Nico is coming back. Christian Harris will be back. So there's some reinforcements on the way. I would possibly look. Me specifically, if I was Nick Caserio, I would try to add to the safety room. Because, like, they play so much, you know, match coverage and so much cover four and so much cover one that, like, your safeties have to cover. And they're just – and the thing is, like, wait, there's no scenario where they can get better at it, right? Like, Jimmy's old.
I mean, Bullock can. But Jimmy,
how much better can a rookie safety who's when he was at USC, he was just a center fielder. Yeah. Now he's being asked to like legitimately cover. You know what I'm saying? How much better can he get to where it's not a liability?
Is there a point to where you address? Would you consider moving Petrie back and fixing
and put who in a nickel?
Acquire a nickel, like whether it's
Desmond
like,
King.
Yeah, Desmond King. Like, back, right? He was fine last year. Like, is that a solution? Because it's the problem for the Texans.
Putting Jimmy, not Jimmy. I mean, maybe you could flip Jimmy and Jalen, but that doesn't. Jalen's playing is playing well in the nickel.
Yeah.
So I don't, you don't upset the apple cart. And again, like, hey, he's better when he's close to the box. So I don't know if you put him deep that enhances the defense, enhances their coverage. I don't. That's why they get paid to figure that out. And I get paid to talk about it. Because, there's no point of even throwing that Stingley and Kamari when you could just consistently go at their safeties. You could just consistently go at them over and over and over and over again and have success through the air. And it's only a matter of time until they face a team, like the Vikings were able to take advantage of it, when they face a team that could just exploit it all game long.
DJ Bien-Aimé with us in studio, ESPN Houston Texans beat reporter. So I'm not going to ask you about Stephon Diggs off the field.
Nah!
Though there have been some funny stories.
There have been some funny stories.
But I do need to know why a question wasn't asked last week.
Which question?
I felt like everyone was playing Stephon Diggs with kid gloves in the local media. Wait. I felt like, and given that after Monday Night Football, Josh Allen said, it's a fun and wonderful thing when you get a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. I'm surprised no one asked him about that last week.
He fought because Josh followed up and gave context the next day. Because he felt like people were trying to take it out of context. So he gave context about it the next day.
I heard the context. I didn't believe Josh Allen for a second. And especially after hearing a bunch of Bills reporters talking after the game. Because they're very loudly talking about how Josh Allen says he's not on social media. But apparently he is very much on social media. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that for a second.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair in that aspect. We probably could have asked that one more question.
I wanted to get it in on Sunday, and that guy, the second to last question who was asked of Stephon Diggs, one of the worst questions I've ever heard.
What was it?
It was so long-winded, I don't even know what it was, and I don't even think Stephon knew what it was. I'll send it to you later. But for what it's worth, Diggs, 82 yards receiving, his old receiver group, 76 yards receiving.
Yeah, I mean, they could use him. They could absolutely use him right now. And, but I also think, kudos to the Texans for bringing in the extra receiver, because I think we got to call a spade a spade. Nico and Tank, if they're your top two guys, right, you got to have a legitimate third guy because, they have shown throughout their career that they're going to miss some time eventually. Mm-hmm. It's fair or not, but they will miss some time. So kudos to them for having a guy on deck ready to go, having another legitimate guy. Because now with Nico out, you still have Tank and you still have Diggs. Could you imagine if they didn't have Diggs and it was just Tank? Man, it wouldn't be hard to take, it wouldn't be hard to take him completely out of the game. It wouldn't be hard at all. Especially against the Patriots, who Christian Gonzalez is legit. He's a legitimate number one wide
receiver
cornerback.
Only good player on the team.
He is the only good player on the team, unfortunately. It's but
it's really bad.
It's okay, Paul.
No, it's not.
You say y'all
it's
got
the worst
six,
it's ever been.
You say y'all got six Super Bowl rings. So.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, but I got five more years to brag about that.
But you don't have any of the rings, so it doesn't matter.
You
loser!
That hurt my feelings.
You want to are you open? You think Diggs is a long-term option yet already? Do you think there's a contract in play for Stephon Diggs? Or do you think he's – because I wouldn't say like he's –
it depends what he wants, though.
He's not like a $30 million – he's not putting up those stats.
It depends what he wants, though.
Yeah.
It depends what he wants.
Because he's saying the right things about how much he likes it here, and they named him a captain. You hear Stephon Diggs talk after the game, even just the post-game speech that they put out there. It sounds like a guy that is enjoying his time in Houston.
Yeah, a lot of people would. A lot of people, if you're rich, young, and famous, would enjoy their time.
He's still figuring out the highways, I think, the last time we saw
the
tweet.
Yeah, for sure. But, if you was, if we were all young, rich, famous, living in Houston.
Listen.
A lot of rappers in Houston.
Bill
says that every game.
No, you're right. Listen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is having a great time, and shout out to him. I'm just saying, be safe out there. And I'm not even talking about the traditional thing that parents will tell kids to be safe about. I'm just telling them to be safe. Okay, that's it. That's all.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, so it depends what, because the receiver market has been pushed forward, right? So, he's probably gonna want like $25 million per. You know what I'm saying? That's probably where his starting number is going to be. And it's like, can the Texans afford that? Probably not. They're going to have to back up the Briggs truck and give the key to the city, to CJ. So, we'll see. I mean, because, again, like, they actually have a lot of big contracts coming up. Because you got Stingley. I mean, listen, they trying to break the bank over there. You're going to have to – I know if Jalen continues to play well, his representation is going to want an extension. I'm trying to think. I know in 2026, like, Laramie's contract, he's going to want to redo it. And you know, he don't play for anything but top of the market. So I think it's just things you got to, like, start to, pay. You know,
yeah, plan ahead. You don't want to be the,
ahead.
Dallas,
yeah,
you don't be the,
yeah,
Dallas Cowboys, right, who all of a sudden have to pay Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, and CeeDee Lamb top of the market.
Exactly. And you're going to have guys that, you're going to have at least two guys that are going to want close to top of the market eventually. Actually three, right? CJ, Sting, and Laramie, they're all going to want top of the market once it's, their turn. So,
and Will.
Yeah, we'll see, because, top of the market, though, Will going to have to get, like, 15-ish sacks to be able to command top of the market. But if he gets that, now you got to worry about that, too. Yeah. So, if Stephon probably wants more than Nico, I don't see a scenario where the Texans can objectively give him that, Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Last question. Texans are 7-point favorites against the Patriots on Sunday. Is this the first game that the Texans cover the spread, DJ Bien-Aimé?
No.
You think it'll be a close one at the end?
Absolutely.
You think that they're not going to win by more than 7 against Drake May?
Or Jacoby Brissett?
Well, if it's Drake May, then there might be an upset.
Oh!
Might. No! I didn't say will. But I told y'all about, I told you about the rule.
You did.
When the backup quarterback gets in, unless you're like Dreadful like the Dolphins, like,
well, they're at the backup's backup now.
Yeah, but that first start, they tend to cover. The only reason why the Dolphins didn't cover the game against the Titans is because Will Levis got hurt, so their backup and it canceled it out. I'm so serious about this. Like, Dalton,
I'm not disagreeing.
Andy Dalton, his first start against the Raiders after the Raiders beat the Ravens,
and
they beat the you living you know what out of them.
And to be fair, the Texans did cover this weekend.
They did. What was you right, you're right.
They barely did, though. The spread was like one.
Yeah.
So they had to. Imagine if they did. Oh, boy. Yeah, he is TJ Bien-Aimé. You can catch his work for ESPN.com covering the Houston Texans. They need to get better. We'll see if that happens on Sunday. DJ, always a pleasure.
Yeah, I still think they'll win.
I'm not saying you don't.
But, cover.
But you're bringing more of that negative air in here. You are being the negative Nancy you said you don't want to be.
I'm just saying. When they're at
4-1.
When the Patriots are at home, they play hard.
Do they?
They played the Bengals.
They're about to quit on the coach.
They beat the five Bengals.
Games.
They went to OT with the
Bengals
Seahawks.
Bengals 1-4.
They took the Dolphins to the wire.
With who? Skylar White from Breaking Bad? For God's sakes. All right. He's DJ. It's Galata George. Stay put.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Galat and George.
Everything you missed over the weekend in sports. We talked about it in our college football six-pack in the first hour of the show. Vanderbilt beat Alabama 40-34. You heard all the Vanderbilt celebrations, whether it was the quarterback losing his mind and having a white Ray Lewis moment on national TV, speaking in tongues, or it was Vanderbilt Stadium playing Nick Saban's comments talking about how this is essentially a layup home game for Alabama every single year on loop as Alabama fans exited. Now we have legend A caller of the Paul Feinbaum show, noted Alabama fan, ranting about the Crimson Tide not rolling on Saturday.
Alabama don't lose to Vandy. We don't lose to Vandy. That is friggin' pathetic, Coach DeBoer. 40 years, dude. 40 years. Bill Curry didn't lose to Vandy. Mike DeBose didn't lose to Vandy. Mike Shula didn't lose to Vandy. 40 years. You've been here 4 weeks and you already lost to Vandy. Strike friggin' one, dude. This is equivalent to coming home and finding your wife in bed with the neighbor. This is what this is equivalent to, Paul. And I say this for this. Me and K-Dub both agree. You could never trust her again. You might stay with her for the kid's sake, but you could never trust the woman again. And the same thing's true with Coach DeBoer. You can win a natty. We can't trust your ass now. You just proved that you can beat the best and lose to the worst in a 2-week friggin' period. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. That's the ugliest little sister on the block. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. You just don't friggin' do it, dude.
Dude wraps it up with that.
I mean, you know, you don't lose to Vandy.
He's Alabama Larry and Stafford.
Yeah, except, you know, at least he has something to, like, actually, like, be proud of.
Damn boys in Tuscaloosa.
I was going to say, this guy's 100% right about everything.
Yeah,
he is right.
Like, he's not, he didn't say over a single wrong thing.
Like, this is how I felt about Marcus Freeman with Notre Dame. As soon as he lost to Marshall, you never trust him again. And, like, look what's happened. He's lost, he then lost to Stanford, and this year lost to NIU for Notre Dame. Like, it is, but this is also just reality, right? This is college football. This is what it's supposed to be like.
They smoked Georgia the weekend before. The Florida Gators won a national title after losing to Ole Miss. It's not the end of the world. Especially with the college football playoff expanding, I truly believe Alabama's going to be fine. They're going to be in the college football playoff, and that this is going to be just a blip on the radar now that we have enabled the powerhouse programs of college football to have one in their back pocket when they lose a game like this, a once-in-40-year kind of loss. And I think that's kind of BS. This should knock Alabama out. It should, but it won't. They're going to be fine, and everyone's going to forget about this.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll forget about this. Alabama fans will not forget about
this. Yeah, this one is a little bit different.
This is like when Kalen DeBoer gets fired. Like, this is what people are going to bring up. Like, when he said, like, he can win a national championship and we still wouldn't trust him, like, he's 100% right. That is how Alabama operates. The confetti could fall on them this year, and Alabama fans will still be like, this guy lost to Vanderbilt. Get this guy out of here.
The arguments now for like the 12-team playoff is going to be, which loss is worse of like the 7 or 8 seed or 9 seed or 10 seed? It's going to be like Vanderbilt beating Alabama, NIU beating Notre Dame. Like, that's the argument we'll be having in a month and a half here. I honestly, one of the things I'm most excited about, I can't wait for the first college football, the TV show, though, when they do the power rankings. When they announce the...
Oh, you mean the college football playoff rankings?
Yeah, when they do the reveal show.
But like, you know what they're going to do. They're going to do something that gets everyone mad and everyone in a tizzy, and ultimately it's going to be so different than the final results. They do this every single year. The first rankings will be ridiculous.
I mean, it seems a little more straightforward now.
It's also because the all we have is the AP poll that we're going off of for like 8 weeks. And then it's just a different group of people are like, actually, this is what we think. And we go, what? How is this possible? It's like, well, just different people think different things.
Because like I struggle with like Alabama and Georgia in this one because I get why the AP and the coaches poll have Georgia in front of Alabama. But Alabama just beat Georgia. So like I kind of like,
but it was close. Like they blew a 28-point lead to Georgia. They had to make a comeback against Georgia.
BCS was better. At least it was determined by a robot. Now it's determined by people
that are very biased.
It's the one time I would actually be willing to turn it over to the robots is with this.
AI does
AI college football playoff committee. The knives are out for Deshaun Watson after another bad start, and also a viral moment that ended up getting a community notes
because a lot of people thought that Deshaun Watson quit in the middle of a play. It led to a community notes saying, actually, there were 12 men on the field and he walked off. And Ian Rappaport boboed it. He did the agent's dirty work, you know, cleaning up on aisle Deshaun Watson, making it seem as if it wasn't Watson's fault in that moment. And okay, it wasn't Watson's fault in that moment, but let's just run through all the fun things being said about Deshaun Watson. First off, all-timer by Stephen A. Smith. A suggestion on what should happen to Deshaun Watson with how much he's been struggling with the now 1-4 Cleveland Browns.
Deshaun Watson is awful. It's so awful that if somebody wanted to arrest him for being awful, I would accept it. It's that bad.
I don't mean to laugh. I don't mean to laugh either. It's funny, but it's wrong to laugh, so I apologize.
Same.
It's not funny.
It's funny, but it's wrong to laugh.
It's okay to
laugh. What are you talking about? It's hilarious.
Like, it was a very funny thing to say. It's okay to laugh.
Oh,
like,
we can't make a joke about someone being put in jail. I mean, he should have been put in jail, probably, right?
I think that's what makes it them uncomfortable is being like, yeah, he should be arrested for being a pervert, not for sucking at football.
Well, he settled his last lawsuit. It's like, he's fine.
This is why network news is failing, is because people are so uncomfortable just rolling with a moment that everyone would agree on. Oh, we're apologizing for laughing. Why are you apologizing for laughing? That was objectively hilarious. By the way, not the only thing being said about Deshaun Watson. Dan Orlovsky called the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland the worst situation in pro sports. Shannon Sharp called Deshaun Watson the Ben Simmons of the NFL. Terry Bradshaw asked if they put Deshaun Watson down. And you know, with Terry Bradshaw, he didn't mean it like that, but that's how it came out of his mouth. Yeah. Mike Greenberg said it's the worst transaction in NFL history. And Jason Garrett even called for him to be benched. Jason Garrett showed emotion. Garrett bought $28,000.
Is this the worst situation in pro sports with the Orlovsky one?
No, the A's trying to move to Las Vegas is the worst situation in pro sports.
Yeah, I think the White Sox, they lost 120 games.
And all the stories that came out after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the next one.
Worst contract in NFL history? Yes, I will agree with Mike Greenberg there. But I do not think this is the worst situation in pro sports. It's the worst situation in the NFL. They should move on to Jameis. I don't understand what they're waiting for. And Kevin Stefanski is going down with the ship, I guess. But, I mean, he might get Robert Solid if he doesn't do something soon.
I think he's being told that he has to keep Deshaun in. It's the only, like, logical thing that, at least for me.
You're probably right.
Because, like, how else can you justify
I can't.
Keeping him as a starting quarterback besides being told by ownership that he's the guy?
Yeah, it's like, we can't cut him, and we're not going to pay him to be the backup. So, just keep playing him.
With 26 sacks and 154 yards lost, Watson is on pace to break two NFL records. He's on pace to take 88 sacks in 17 games. Holy crap. Guess how many times David Carr was sacked in 2002?
72.
76. So 76. We're talking 12 more sacks over one extra game. And on top of that, he's lost 154 yards on his sacks, which puts him on pace for the most yards lost sacks in a season. The record is 489 yards lost on sacks set by Randall Cunningham in 1986. A lot of these sacks are on Deshaun Watson.
Oh, a lot of them are.
That was a issue with him with the Texans, and people used to blame the offensive line all the time. Oh, that was a Watson problem.
And now he looks way less athletic even out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just the arm. He just doesn't look as fast.
No. He doesn't. Doesn't have that mobility but anymore. That was a strength.
I kind of enjoy it.
I mean, I love watching it from afar. I agree. I don't want him arrested. I want him to stay out there.
I know. We got breaking news.
I think I know what you're about to say. Hit it.
The future is now in New England. That's what Ian Rappaport says. That the Patriots are planning to start Drake May against the Texans for his first start.
This is poor coaching. Gerard Mayo.
I feel like they wanted to start Drake May in the preseason, and it was taken out of Gerard Mayo's hands.
Yeah, but start him next week versus Jacksonville.
No, you got to put him in now. At this point, it's a joke. They're going to lose the locker room if they continue to play. Jacoby
or should have played him last week, I guess, versus the Dolphins.
They are a clown car right now, the Patriots. I am baffled by what I am seeing. I have been a very spoiled Patriots fan in my life. This is the worst year since the first year of the Bill Belichick era.
Mm.
I am stunned by what I'm seeing, hearing about as well.
I think they got to put him in. And to what DJ was saying in the last segment, I do think it gives the Patriots a chance to cover.
It gives them a chance, but I don't know. We also watched Caleb Williams in his second start with a bad offensive line and better receivers.
Better him than Jacoby Brissett. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
At least Drake can run. That's really all you got.
He can run for his life.
He can run for his life better than Caleb Williams can, though, because I think he can actually run for plus yardage. Caleb Williams can extend a play, avoid sacks, etc.
He's running to throw, which is interesting. Caleb Williams mainly runs to throw.
Yeah.
Drake May can at least run to get yards.
Yeah, run to save his life.
Also that.
By the way, while we stay on the Patriots, now two ex-Patriots in broadcasting, you have Tom Brady, who is doing Romo-gasms in the broadcast. This is a supercut of Tom Brady making noises while cool things were happening in the game that he was calling Sunday, the dramatic Cardinals victory over the San Francisco 49ers.
It is Murray on the tee because I go, Kyler Murray! Turn on the afterburners! He's gone! And a nice catch it is by Ayuk. Good to see him still in bounds. Brandon Ayuk!
Purdy.
Looking over the middle, high. What a catch! Brandon Ayuk, go get it!
Murray.
It's picked off! Bosa's got it! Nick Bosa makes a move!
Pull down on him.
Purdy, a lot of time. Tip to the air, it's intercepted. Cardinals get a huge
Murray
looking to throw one up high. Comes down with it. He's got it for the touchdown.
That last one.
It's better than Romo because it's not as high pitched and annoying. It's better than Bagwell's grunts.
Yeah.
Like the noises and grunts. Power rankings. Brady won.
Well, yeah, because Brady's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world.
I prefer Bagwell's grunts over Romo's pig squeals.
Do you think that this was like a note that he got from a Fox executive being like, hey, try you know, loosening up a little bit, you know, have a little fun watching the game and make some noise as the play's happening? Do you think that was like a choice he made? Or he's just watching his childhood team out there. He's watching the San Francisco 49ers and he gets to be a fan now.
Could be that. And also, could just be that he is God's gift to mankind, and he is just sharing his excitement for football with all of us.
He's doing fine.
Yeah, he hasn't been that bad, but Bill Belichick is doing way better.
Oh, he's running laps around.
Belichick on the Manning cast is all time. This is just Belichick taking a shot at Peyton Manning. Oh, man, this actually got me going.
With this crowd noise, Bill, how do you simulate the crowd noise when you're playing these guys?
Well, I'll tell you, Peyton, the crowd noise there at Arrowhead wasn't as bad as it was when you guys piped in music at the RCA Dome.
Okay.
And then when the music skipped, and then when the crowd noise skipped, then that's how we knew we were pumping it in.
Colts were 100% pumping in crowd noise during the entirety of their run in the RCA Dome. And Texans fans definitely know this because you heard it too.
Didn't they get punished for that?
If they did, it wasn't much. I think the Falcons got punished
for it. Yeah, the Falcons.
I think the Falcons.
But I don't think the Colts did, because Bill Polian on the competition committee, always bitching and moaning about the rules. Oh, let's put the 5-yard contact back in. And then the next game that they played against the Patriots in the playoffs, their wide receivers, Hall of Famers, by the way, couldn't get off jams by guys named Gay and Earthwind Moreland.
I don't know that person.
Yep. And the Colts scored 3 points against that defense.
Jim Mercy did respond to this.
What did he say?
He said, reminder, piped in crowd noise, myth, 1,000% fictional.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And the skip was TV broadcast.
No, it wasn't. Everyone heard it in the stadium. Do more drugs. Do more drugs, Jim. More Bill Belichick. This is Bill Belichick when he saw Taylor Swift on the camera.
Big first half for Kelsey. Too big.
Loved it.
He's
good. He's very good in this like curmudgeonly role along with the two Mannings, the one he beat and the one that beat him.
I think I'll miss him next year.
I kind of want him to stay. I'm enjoying it. I think deep down he's enjoying it too. I think he likes to get to sit back and watch and talk about it and have all his opinions always be the best opinion on it because of what he did.
Yeah, like
It is the ultimate pelt on the wall. Like, everyone's like, oh, he knows football better than anybody. I mean, who's going to argue against him?
And he doesn't have to be right, like, if he was still coaching.
Yeah.
Like, if you're still coaching, you then have to be right. Exactly. He doesn't even have to be right.
I wonder if there's, like, only certain jobs he would take.
Hmm.
Like, if it was, like, Dallas, certain quarterbacks he would coach.
I think he would potentially do the Cowboys. I think he would potentially do the Eagles.
What about Cincinnati?
No.
Joe Burrow?
No. They won't pay him enough. That has nothing to do with the quarterback situation. Yeah. That's one of those situations where Mike Brown won't pay him enough, and he would be annoyed by that.
Yeah.
It's a weird operation in Cincinnati.
No, it is.
They should hire him.
Yeah, because it's like you think Joe Burrow. Like, that's like if you want a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. your best shot would be Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't believe the Jacksonville thing. I think he'd rather do TV than be the head coach in Jacksonville.
Boat. Bring his biddy down there.
Yeah, but he wants to win, too. And, you know.
You can win there. Bill can do anything. People hate on him.
You think he could fix Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I think Bill gets way too much crap, and I'm biased, obviously.
Oh, no, this isn't a Bill thing. This is a Trevor Lawrence conversation, Paul.
Did you see what Trevor Lawrence did on Sunday? I mean, Lawrence looked pretty good on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just saying. Lawrence can theoretically be fixed. I just don't think he's ever going to be the best quarterback in the game. He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Galan and George. Garbage time next. Stay put.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, the garbage ass New England Patriots are going to start Drake May against the Texans on Sunday. I do think it gives the Patriots a better chance to win, but I imagine the line for Texans and Patriots, Texans by 7 for a road game, I imagine that line will balloon with a rookie quarterback under center.
Yeah, I saw it even it moved to 7 and it's at 7 now.
Still 7? Okay.
Yeah, but open at 7.5. They might agree with you, Paul, that like just being a different quarterback who's not a statue is like it just gives them a little bit. I can't imagine it moves past 6, but good luck to Drake May. Like, we saw what happened to Caleb Williams. Like, the offensive line in New England is pretty terrible as well. They're literally benching their running back because he's got the fumbles. I mean, good defensive players here and there, but
I have zero expectations, but I want it to be known that if Drake May looks good at all, I'm going to rub it so hard in Joe's face.
Why? Caleb Williams is awesome.
I'm sure he is.
He was awesome this last week.
This last week.
He's been good the last 2 weeks.
His passer rating goes up every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is good.
Started low.
He's been very
good. What's going on?
Sound like Danny Parkinson, Nick Wright right now. He's the prince of his brothers.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. Again, I am just irrationally attacking anything because, God, they suck. The Patriots suck. They're a joke right now. I'm just embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by them. Anyway, hey, so Drake May's under center on Sunday. And on top of that, here's the latest on Robert Saleh getting fired as Jets head coach. He was considering firing offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett today.
Oh, so word got out that Hackett was getting whacked, and then Rodgers said, no, no, no.
And then Uno reverse. You're getting whacked, sir.
Do you think Rodgers limped down the hallway with his injured calf?
He crawled like he was on the field.
That's so.
To get to Woody's office and said he found out about it to tell on him first.
I forgot. We didn't even talk about him crawling like he was. Like he just got shot.
Shot on a battlefield.
That's last
yeah.
weekend.
Forgot about that. There you go. Also, I guess Robert Saleh was never calling the Jets plays. And I saw another tweet. Woody Johnson about Hassan Reddick doesn't understand why Hassan Reddick's not here and is begging him to return.
I forgot about the Hassan Reddick.
Totally did too.
Man, things are not going well for the New York Jets. I know it's going to be hard for everyone to understand that, but things are not going well for the Jets right now.
So apparently Robert Saleh, his Jets career started and ended the same way. With a loss to Sam Darnold. His first game as the Jets head coach, the Jets lost to the Panthers and Sam Darnold. And then his last game, he lost to Sam Darnold and the Vikings.
Ooh.
The irony of that is incredible.
Sam Darnold get the Jets coach fired again.
Responsible for two of them. Maybe more than that, honestly. It might be three.
At least Gase. And now Saul.
More garbage time. This is akin to Jets news. Because it's messy. Guess what? A new other Georgia player got arrested. Georgia wide receiver Colby Young. This time, not for speeding. This is for misdemeanor assault.
We got to start like trying to figure out if they're going to
if Kirby Smart's Georgia Bulldogs are going to start getting in Florida Gator, Gator territory here with the rest.
I don't know. That's very hard to do because I think a third of Florida got arrested. I think some of these are just misdemeanors, not arrest worthy, but this one theoretically could have involved an arrest. I don't know. I think some of these guys have actually seen jail time, though, in Florida. That's what's tricky.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Aaron Hernandez. I mean, you need someone
that's like the
worse
Trump
than Aaron
card.
Hernandez.
That's always the Trump card is in this weird contest, Florida wins because they had a tight end murdering people.
Kirby Smart, though, more focused on Georgia fans being louder because they got a wine and cheese crowd for their team of Fast and Furious racers.
Not surprising that he's focused on that. Definitely not focused on what the guys are doing off the field.
It's focused on the fans. I love it. All right, on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George for our texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, and tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to Joe George. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.